The Ukrainian government says Russian missile and drone strikes have disabled nearly half of the country's energy systems. Ukrainian officials believe the targeted strikes are intended to break their population's will to fight as temperatures dip. NPR's Nathan Rott reports on Russia's efforts to weaponize the coming winter.
The electrical substation Mykhailo Voyanov wants to show us sits at the end of a rubble-strewn dirt road, past a red toy car half buried in mud. He opens a gashed metal door to show us the equipment inside.
There are a lot of damage from shrapnel, but this one is the worst.
He reaches into the substation and knocks on its main component, a transformer.
Звук одинаковый.
You see, the sound is the same.
Uh-huh.
Значит, масла нет.
It means that there is no oil there.
Ah, it's empty.
Значит, где-то еще дырка.
So I think there's a hole somewhere.
Voyanov is an electrician in this northeast corner of Ukraine. It was formerly occupied by Russians before Ukraine took it back, but you can still hear the sound of artillery and tanks fighting like thunder in the distance.
How long do you think it's going to take for Ukraine to fix all this stuff, all the electrical stuff?
Как вы думаете, сколько это займет времени починить все вот такие вот штуки по Украине вообще?
A couple of years at least, he says, and thousands of dollars for this one substation alone. Russia's attacks on Ukraine's energy and heating infrastructure have been going on since the start of its invasion, nearly 9 months ago. But they've intensified immensely as winter has approached, with repeated, near-weekly attacks targeting thermal power plants, electrical substations, and centralized heating facilities. In an email to NPR, Ukraine's energy ministry says the attacks have intensified significantly because of Russia's losses on the battlefield. Their goal, the energy ministry says, is to destroy Ukraine's entire energy supply chain. In big cities like Kyiv and Kharkiv, power outages and blackouts are now a way of life. At small, heavily damaged villages like this one in northeastern Ukraine, the few residents who remain are planning to be without power for months. Oleksandr Lisitsky is relying on a wood-fired boiler to warm his home.
Are you worried about it being too cold this winter?
Переживаете, что будет холодно этой зимой?
Ну, а что, лес он есть.
We've got the wood, but...
Shh, because he's not supposed to have it. The wood he's collecting comes from the mine-riddled forest behind his home.
There are lots of broken trees there, so we can just collect it.
At a picnic table outside Lisitsky's home, next to a shattered Buddha statue that sits next to a small pond, Mykhailo Voyanov, the electrician, uses jars of cookies and mugs of steaming coffee to explain what Russia is doing to Ukraine's energy sector. Lisitsky and his wife, Svetlana Malirova, listen intently. There are power sources, gas and coal thermal power plants, hydroelectric dams, nuclear power stations. And then there are the series of substations that help distribute that power.
Вот такая система, это во всем мире она.
Но они лупят не по вот этим вот станциям.
Они по вот этим лупят.
So that's why they target not these, not the power plants, but the substations.
По вот этим подстанциям лупят.
Because then you can't move any of that power to any of the smaller substations or to people.
Потому что если повредить их, то никакие уже маленькие не получат электричество.
Attacks that also make it harder for Ukraine to pull in electricity from Europe. Oleksandr Karchenko, the director of the Energy Industry Research Center, says Russia knows this. That's why, in the last 2 months, they've specifically targeted these types of facilities.
Substations, it's a lot of them. It's not possible to cover each of them by special air defense. That's why they're more vulnerable.
More vulnerable than larger power stations to the kinds of long-range missile and drone strikes that Russia now depends on. Marisha Zapashnik, the International Rescue Committee's Ukraine director, says NGOs like hers have been trying to prepare people for the cold, giving out electric heat lamps and wool blankets. But, she says...
The assistance provided by humanitarian NGOs, by the UN, will not be enough. It's simply not enough. The number of people involved, if there are large parts of the country that have absolutely no source of heating, for sure we will need a lot more assistance.
From countries such as the U.S., which recently announced $55 million in assistance specifically for heating and repairing homes. Everywhere you go in Ukraine, people are preparing, storing firewood, fixing windows with plastic sheets and plywood. In Izyum, a northeastern Ukrainian town that was occupied by Russia, Halina Zagorodny walks up a cold set of stairs to her one-bedroom apartment. The 71-year-old spent much of the invasion living in her apartment building's basement with more than 100 of her neighbors. Now she's back in her damaged home. A small electric heat lamp, given to her by an aid organization, is the only source of heat in her home.
It's a good heater. It really heats warms.
Zagorodny is planning to spend the winter here at home, even though electricity has been intermittent and the gas line has been punctured by shrapnel.
What happens if electricity goes out? How will you stay warm in here?
Honestly, I don't know what I'll do, she says. I don't want to go anywhere else. Maybe, she says with a smile, I'll burn my books.
We'll make it far.
Make it work, because what else, she asks, is she supposed to do? Nathan Rott, NPR News, Izyum, Ukraine.